I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Mark Carter joins me again. The director and designer is on to preview the latest Satora Theatre production, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, starting this Friday, the 11th of October. It'll be at the Norman and Annette Rothstein Theatre through to the 27th of October. We all know those classic songs, Candyman and Pure Imagination. This new musical blends those favorites with fresh numbers. And whether you remember the 1971 film or the original novel by Roald Dahl, there'll be something familiar and welcome. I'll ask Mark about the piece as well as this production. It's a big cast and a live 8-piece orchestra. You can visit ctora.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Mark Carter. Mr. Carter, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. A lot of us will remember the original movie with Gene Wilder, but your production, Satora production, it has some of those memorable songs like Candyman, Pure Imagination, but there's also new songs, right?
Yes, there is. There's several songs that that are new to the show. In fact, they're so new that they're not even on the recording.
Mm.
So the recording that you get off of Apple or
sure.
Spotify or whatever doesn't actually have a couple of the songs that were done in the show. But that's actually a good thing, because when they put out that album, they were still, I think they were still changing some things around, and this, the songs that they replaced them with were really good. So I'm happy with the changes.
And it's sort of a new story too, isn't it? I mean, it's not as we'll remember the movie, right?
No, it's actually very close.
Oh,
It follows it. Yeah, there's a few little differences from from the original, but the characters are there. The general storyline is all there, and sort of what happens to each of them is very similar to the original.
Yeah, and and then the other thing we forget that it's a Roald Dahl, based on a Roald Dahl book.
Yeah.
And so that's, if you're a fan of Dahl, that's all in this show, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's whimsical, sort of a Roald Dahl magic that he tends to put into his stories is all there.
And I understand you also have a live orchestra. How many pieces is it?
8-piece orchestra.
Yeah.
We have to actually have them in the lobby because there's not room on the stage for them, and there's no pit. So they're in the lobby, cordoned off behind curtains, and then they get piped in. The sound gets piped into the theater. So, but they're an amazing band. They're going to just sound good.
And I'm sure they'll sound great wherever they are. That must be a fun thing as the show's director and in producing this piece with this company, having to deal with, say, the logistics of a space itself that you're working in.
It's always a challenge, and this is a very large show. And in fact, in many ways, I think it's a little bit too big for the theater itself. That was one thing that we looked at when we took it on, that, as much as we love the Rothstein and we've done a couple of shows in there, it's it is a big show to try and cram into this a smaller space. And the biggest challenge was the orchestra. Where can we put an 8-piece band? There's just no room on stage. There's no real suitable area for it. And then we went, well, actually there is, out in the lobby. So this is the first time we've had to do that, but it's so much better because I always prefer live music to playing the tracks.
Yeah.
That probably would have been the last resort. And it just isn't the same playing to tracks as it is to a live band. There's no comparison.
Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned that, because Scott Whitman, with Mark Shaiman, added to the score of the original Anthony Newley Leslie Bricka score. When he won the Tony for, I think it was Hairspray, he threatened the orchestra at the award show to not cut him off, otherwise he'd use a recorded orchestra at the next performance. It really isn't. And I mean, it is not live theater, is it? If there isn't that, you're watching a musical, you're sitting there and not having live musicians. I mean, that's all part of the magic of theater. And it's the business, too, of show business, isn't it? To try to, find the right number of pieces to make it sound as good as it will. And making sure that, you're dealing with the musicians themselves, that they show up and the sort. I mean, that's the exciting part of putting on a show, right?
Absolutely. And, there is no comparison between live music and tracks. I mean, when you use recorded tracks, there's, a lot of it sounds full. It just doesn't sound the same to me. And it's just that extra special thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of shows, have to do it with tracks because of, size and it came down to it. If we couldn't find a spot for the orchestra, we couldn't have an AP. And that was paring it down. I believe it's written for a lot more.
Wow.
And so we pared it down to 8 was the minimum that we could do it with. So I think it's probably, it's probably a 13 or 15 piece pared down to 8. Hopefully I'm not inflating those numbers, but I think it is something like that. Because I know our musical director, Jeremy, is just phenomenal. But he's literally playing the show out of 3 books because just piecing it all together.
Yeah.
He has 3 books that he's played from because he's playing the main keyboard, but there is another keyboard plus all the other musicians.
And so we've talked about how big the orchestra is. It is a bigger cast, isn't it? I mean, you've got a company.
21.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And this is a company that also ranges in age, right? I mean, Grandpa Joe and Charlie and Wonka himself, they're not the same age, right?
Yeah, we do. I probably should know the actual ages, and I'm sorry I don't. But we do have a big variety of ages. Our Charlie, and we actually have 2 Charlies playing it in retro. And they're basically, I believe they're the same age or within a year of one another. And they're some of our younger ones. And then it goes up to, probably Grandpa Joe, or we have a chorus member that is probably up in that Grandpa Joe range. But I mean, I shouldn't say, Grandpa Joe is 90 in the show, but our Grandpa Joe is nowhere near. So, just want to put that out there. But it is, it's a good range. And some of the kids, I couldn't even tell you how old they are, but they play younger.
Yeah.
And some of them are, age appropriate. And some of them are a little older, but they play it younger. They're amazing, but a wide variety of ages.
So what's it like in a room with a great variety of people as you're finding yourself in, Mark, these days? In terms of, you have to get the job done and putting on a show, but I mean, you have a variety of experiences as well. I mean, how do you develop the chemistry amongst a big group like that?
Well, first of all, I believe you create a creative rehearsal environment. So it's a safe room. People can explore. They can try things out. They can do whatever they want to do in there without feeling judged or pressured or anything like that. And then from there, you let them create, and we just sort of play. And once you do that and you create an environment that people are having fun, because a lot of work needs to be done, but you also have to enjoy what you're doing. You have to have a lot of fun on stage, because the secret ingredient in the show is if the cast is having fun, the audience is going to have fun. the biggest thing is just making sure of pushing people, you know, to get the best out of them. But still, it should be a fun experience. And you know it is when you look at the clock and you go, wow, where did the time go in rehearsal? We thought we, you know, it feels like you just started. But if you're sitting there and you're looking at the clock for the whole time, you know, you're not getting the work that you should be getting done. So.
Yeah, that's how the audience feels, too, when they're in a show. And, you know, if they have to they have to try to find some light to look at their watch.
Absolutely.
You know, and you can also tell when the cast isn't having fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I really try to do with all of my shows. It's a lot easier when the show itself is fun to do. If you're doing a show that's really heavy, you know, a Les Mis or something like that, with just barrage of heavy stuff, it's a little bit harder to have that sort of fun. But in a show like this, with, you know, the characters are larger than life. They're cartoon characters almost.
Yeah. And,
you know, big personalities, and you know, the actors are saying, you know, how big can I get this? I'm like, go for it, and I can pull it back to where, you know, where it should be. But these are all larger than life characters to begin with. So start there and see how big you can get. And then we can pull it back. But they're big characters, so all of them are. And, so it's just a mixture of you know, bringing in the right personalities as well. And if you cast the show right, most of your job is done right there, too.
Yeah.
You know, because the performers bring so much to these characters, and they bring a lot to it. And like I said, if they're having fun while they're doing it, I mean, you just sort of let them loose and let them create.
Yeah. Working with actors as you are in this production, what do you tell them when they ask you, you know, should I watch the movie? Should I listen to the cast recording or whatever music I can get my hands on? What sort of director are you in that regard?
It depends on the show that you're doing. A lot of the shows that I've done in the past have been parodies. So if it's a show that I'm parodying, I think it's essential that you watch the movie or the show that you're parodying.
Yeah.
Just because you have to know what it is that you're poking fun of or, you know, paying homage to. So when it's that type of show, I think you definitely have to. In a show like this, I think, I think you should be familiar with the story if you haven't read the book or if you haven't seen the movie. I mean, I've seen it a lot as a kid. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it really stuck with me. But I didn't feel as though I needed to go back and revisit it. And I really didn't want to, because I hadn't seen the Broadway version of it, I didn't want to look at any other things just because I wanted it to be to my perspective. And so I'm doing the show that's given to me in the script. And, you know, if you have, sorry, my train of thought is derailing here. With some movies, for instance, like this one, it's not a direct, the movie isn't directly what we're doing in the movie.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that you get a sense of the story and a sense of the characters and then still make it your own.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that people watch things. I think it's a lot more tricky when it's something that is direct, you know, a direct version of the script, the movie version or something like that. I think it's a little bit more tricky in my head.
And, you know, I was just thinking, that makes absolute sense, Mark. I was just thinking, you know, there was a recent movie, I forget what it's called now. I think it was just called Charlie.
The Wonka one.
Yeah.
With Timothy Chalamet. Yeah. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of the audience will probably have seen that. So they'll be mm-hmm. familiar with the characters. It's not obviously not the same script. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is how, you know, you watched it as a kid. I watched it as a kid. You know, these are characters that we'll know, a place that we'll know the minute mm-hmm. we sit in the Rothstein, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How do you go?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, how do you go about picking, like, a production? Because, I mean, this company has had, you know, a long history of family-friendly theater and you know, thinking about this story, the show itself. I mean, this just seems like a, you know, just a slam dunk in terms of what you're going to put on. Is there a lot of thought that goes on to you know, what you're going to mount? And then, you know, we started the conversation talking about all the imperatives physically and otherwise to putting on a show like this. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the producer's hat that you have to wear, right?
Well, yes, and that I thankfully don't have to wear that with this company. Lily and Jeanette are producers, and they're fantastic. And they look after all the producing aspects of the show, and I can just focus on putting the show up and directing the show.
Mm.
So I don't actually have, I don't really have a lot of input on what they're doing. I've given them suggestions and
yeah.
in the past, but this one was one that they brought. Same with last year when they did Wizard of Oz. They had said, hey, what do you think about Wizard of Oz? I'm like, I've always wanted to do that. So, and this, I've always wanted to do a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This story, it's really dear to me as a kid. I remember reading the book and seeing the movie and everything. So they really like to try and do family-friendly theater, and so far they've picked some really good choices. So I give that all to them for their choice, and I believe the rights would just become available to this one because there's other versions of it. There's Willy Wonka, and that one is the one that's closer, I believe, to the movie. Because the movie, the Gene Wilder one, was actually Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
The Johnny Depp one was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Same story, same, you know, like I said, some of the same songs in it. But that Wonka version, I believe, is more similar to the movie. And we looked at that, and that was one of the ones that we were looking at when the rights to this new production became available. I thought, well, why don't we do that?
Yeah.
It will be the first time. I believe the first time it's been done here.
In Vancouver, yeah.
In Vancouver, yeah. This version. So there's something exciting about that as well. So I think, you know, a lot of that goes into their planning and picking shows that they know that families and kids alike of all ages will enjoy.
Indeed. What's next for you after this production? What are you working on next?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm actually taking a little bit of a break. I just finished doing The Play That Goes Wrong that went up at Metro and mm-hmm. then right into this one. So it's kind of two big shows back to back. So I'm going to take a little bit of time off and... I'm also a designer, so I'll be designing a couple of shows just around Christmas time and the new year, and then I'll start looking at next year. We do have something really big planned for next October with Satora that I'm going to be directing, and we haven't announced that yet, but I'm really excited about that one because it's a bit of a departure from the shows we've done recently. But it's going to be really exciting, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we'll await that. Until then, I appreciate your time today, Mark. Break a leg, as I say. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
The website for tickets is at ctora.ca. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is at the Norman and Annette Rothstein Theater, starting this Friday, the 11th of October through to the 27th. Mark Carter, its director, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.